Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? It's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of Reality Spirituality Radio on Thanksgiving 2018. Woo, woo! Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Reality Spirituality is live today with my special guest, my very, very, very special guest, Nathan Norrington. But before I get to Nathan, let me just do a couple of things really quick. This is going to be a jam-packed show. We've been writing down topics for the last few days and topics that were that are interesting to me, topics that are interesting to him, and just like all the shows, this is going to be a free-flowing show with a call-in number. You can call in area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619, and press the number 1, and you're welcome to join the show with us. But before I go on, just for my new listeners, I've been getting a lot of new listeners. I've been posting the link on Reddit, a lot of new listeners. So let me just share with you very quickly who the hell is this Rebecca L. Norrington anyway. I am the world's only happiness specialist. And what does that mean? That means that my priority, my commitment in every moment is to experience happiness. And happiness is the same to me, means the same as peace, internal contentment, contentment, balance, relax, trusting, knowing, just journeying through this life, journeying through this life with my shoulders down, taking deep breaths, and allowing things to happen and experiencing all of the things, all of the challenges without judgment, without reacting, with a peaceful, peaceful heart and soul. So my definition for happiness is to be able to experience this life regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen, rooted in peace. And with that said, I'm going to bring on my very special guest that I've known for, it's been 33 years now, probably a little bit more than that. Welcome, Nathan Norrington. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. Thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Well, thank you for having me on the show.
Well, let's just thank each other. How's that, since it is Thanksgiving Day?
That's right. Thanksgiving Day, Gratitude Day, Appreciation Day.
Yes. So question. What does Thanksgiving mean to you, if anything?
Yes. Well, Thanksgiving does mean, it just means a little touch of gratitude. And for me, it's whatever I choose to find gratitude
for. Now, hold on a second. Are you on speaker?
Yeah, let me take it off speaker.
Yeah, because you're kind of going in and out.
Okay. Is that a little bit better?
Okay. Yes, that's a lot better. Thank you.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, so Thanksgiving just means finding gratitude for anything. Grateful for whatever I choose to be. When I woke up this morning, I just decided that I would put a little bit more gratitude in the day's soup, so to speak.
Oh.
A little bit more gratitude.
Now, can you share with the audience specifically, because we've heard about gratitude, but I would like to know a little bit more about you and what are you grateful for? Can you name your five things that you're grateful for specifically?
Yeah, no, interesting. So I woke up, I was just, I mean, this sounds really general, but I was just grateful to be awake and alive,
mm-hmm.
and grateful that I even had the idea to be grateful, because a lot of times I just roll out of bed without having a clear mind about what I'm doing. And grateful for my breath, because when I slow down my breath or I take some deep breaths, it feels like it changes me. So I'm grateful that I know how to do that. And let's see, other things, two more things. Yeah, I guess I just stopped with the idea. And I started thinking about some people in my life, or really all the people in my life, people in my phone that I text, people that I see. And I just decided to have a tone of gratitude when I think about them, if I think about them. And that does feel a little different than noticing things that maybe I don't like about them, or things that they bring up in me or trigger me in some way, or any kind of drama I have with them or had with them. The tone of gratitude for a person really does feel different.
Ooh, thank you for that. And while you were speaking, I came up with one thing that I'm grateful for, and that's being able to have choices in every moment. Being able to choose what I'm going to, how I'm going to react, how I'm going to respond, not necessarily choose how I'm feeling, but make choices without any judgments of my choices.
I love that. Grateful for the choice of how to respond. That's pretty huge.
Because somebody asked me last week, I was being interviewed, and they said, is happiness a choice? And I said, you know, I used to think that, yes, happiness is a choice, and everybody has a choice to choose this happiness or wanting to be happy, because, you know, when you ask the question, you want to be happier, everybody seems to raise their hand.
Right.
But I've come to the conclusion now, in this present moment, I might change tomorrow, but in this moment, no, I don't believe that the majority of the people have a choice to respond as opposed to react. I don't believe that they have a choice, and the reason why they don't have a choice is because of the programming that they've received, the programming that I've received, the programming that everybody receives. I was thinking about that baby, and I always like to come back to the baby that's just born, 6 months old, 10 months old, a year old, sitting in his playpen. And if that baby is sitting in the playpen with crap in his nose and earwax in his ears and one shoe on, one shoe off, wacky hair, maybe hasn't been bathed for, you know, maybe hasn't had a bath for a while, that baby, if it's got something to play with, it doesn't really care. It's not. It hasn't been programmed yet to think that there's something wrong, or think that there's a way I should feel, or be critical of self. So I like to always go back to the baby for the guideline of the programming. And I know that my programming is what's keeping me, or what stirs up unrest or unsatisfaction. It's the programming and not really the life itself. So when people are programmed and they don't recognize the program, happiness is not a choice. What do you think?
Well, I love it. I agree with that. I agree with that. The emotion is not the choice. It is the reaction that is the choice. Because it's true. Happiness is not present in every moment. We are a whole rainbow of emotions in any given moment. And if it was up to me, maybe I would choose happiness 24/7, you know, floating around with a smile on my face, breathing easy, shoulders down, looking mm-hmm. around, flowers, everything. But for whatever reason, it's not quite like that. But I can, it's like I can, you know, take a little bit of a step back if I'm feeling an emotion of maybe being a little tense and not thinking that there's anything wrong with that moment. Just like you said, I was just going to wrap it up, but just saying, because you were talking about the baby. Okay, the baby has the diaper's not on right, crying, you know, things in the eyes, crap, the diaper. But even if the baby's uncomfortable, it doesn't have the thought that there's something wrong with being uncomfortable. It just is uncomfortable, period.
Okay, now you just tied into what, now I'm getting chills because you just tied into what I was going to say before I rudely interrupted your full thought, which is all of the emotions, the ups and the downs, I'm speaking for myself, the uncomfortableness, the anxiety, the sadness, all of those emotions, there's nothing wrong with feeling anything, but it's the judgment that is the key. So there's a tsunami in the world, there's a tsunami, there's a tornado, there's fires, all of this stuff, it happens. But the judgment is there something wrong with the tsunami? Is there something wrong with fires? From what I understand, Earth has automatically had fires in all the forests. It just comes lightning, fires, forest trees burn down. It's part of the cycle of this planet. And so who's to say it's good and or bad or the judgment? It's really the judgment about what's going on.
Yeah, and I would even say, okay, fires, I would say it is what it is, because that is definitely true, and I like the what next, because
what next?
There's so many things in all of our lives, or in my life in particular, so many things in my life I can look back on and get tripped up over that didn't go the way I wanted them to, that brought distress in some way. And if I focus on the event itself, it kind of will sand trap me, kind of pull me down, keep pulling me down. But if I shift the focus to, I mean, that is just what it is, and then what do I do about it next? I guess that's just another way of saying how we react to it. Okay, so that happened, and then what's the reaction to it?
Now you were talking, I love that, we were talking earlier this week about reacting to people or responding to people, and you said there's a difference between what you say and how you react when you have a zinger. You said a zinger without a stinger. So what you were talking about was talking to people and maybe, because I'm a smart ass and I make smart ass comments all the time, but you said something really, really profound, because you said there's a vibration making a joke without a stinger. So a zinger without a stinger. Can you elaborate on that, please?
Yes, I would love to. Well, as you know, you are a silly, silly bunch. I'm a silly, silly bunch of coconuts as well. And I think humor is a really nice way to lighten the mood and maybe even to share some truths through humor. And I'm trying. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't matter if it's sharing something through making people laugh or being funny or not being funny, it's the vibe underneath. And I can tell when my vibe is pretty even and, you know, I'm not out to get anybody. I'm just out to make light of something. And to me, that's like a zinger without a stinger. But sometimes when my vibe is a little off or my intention is to maybe spread some of my negative vibes onto someone else so that I don't feel so alone in having my negativeness, I try to give my, you know, share it or put it on someone else. I can feel that I might use humor to bring someone down. And it's like, oh, no, it was just a joke. Well, it wasn't just a joke because it wasn't funny. And, I mean, it might be funny, but so, and that way, you know, we always talk about how we really can find the humor in anything, in any situation, if we just shift that perspective. And maybe
wrapping that up with, it's really about the intention. You said it, it's about the intention that you have. And I know my intention when I want to, if I'm feeling like I want to cut somebody and make them bleed, or my intention or whether I'm just having fun. And that's really another thing about just being conscious and having choices. We talked about that earlier. I want to make that one of our themes, is having choices. But you said something, because I was going to ask you this next question. Can you find humor in everything, from death to bad health to, I don't even want to say it because
I'm going to say it anyway.
Yeah, to the fires in California, to the, I mean, can you find humor? Now, that's a really tricky subject, because now people are,
that
what do you mean find
one.
Humor in
death?
Where people die, there's no humor in that. So that's my question. Can you find humor in everything?
I think that's such a good question. I'm trying to feel that one out. I think, now I'm thinking about what even humor is, and I do feel like there you can find light. I'm going to say humor is a vibe of lightness.
Okay, I'm getting chills, because while you were talking, I wanted to change my word from humor to lightness, and then you said it. I'm all chilled up now.
Lightness. And I'm going to say this. So if something, say something, an actual object, is really heavy and it falls from the sky and it catapults to the ground, slams to the earth, it can be picked up. It just might not be picked up right away. It's not going to slam down and you're going to throw it right back up. It's going to come down, and then it might take a little time. It might take some more energy to lighten it back up. So I do think there's lightness. I just think that it needs to honor the momentum that it came from. So I would, and I think that's why it's easier to make jokes about something like the Titanic that happened, you know, almost over 100 years ago. Something that was really heavy at a certain time, and then over time, it just lightened up. And some things do have to be honored by time. The time it takes for a tree to grow, the time it takes for a baby to grow into a child, and a child to grow into an adult. So I do think there's an element of lightness, but if it's forced, then too early, then that's really no different than having an emotion and pretending it's something else really quick.
Now we're really digging deep on this one.
I know, we're really getting good. Yes.
While you were talking, and I get it, because I remember telling you when Grandma died, I said it took me 12 days to get back to feeling balanced. And then I was on talking to someone else, and this one lady, I was on another radio show, and she said it took her over 2 years for her to get to feel, quote-unquote, back or balanced, whatever we want to call it. And so now I'm hearing what you're saying, and I totally get it. It takes time. And I'm going to say that it takes as much time because I am what I practice. And if I practice letting go of every moment, and if I practice accepting, and if I practice trusting, if I practice all of that, practice keeping it light, because one of the things that subtracts from peace is thinking anything is serious. And if I practice keeping everything light, there is going to be a time, I don't know when, but there's going to be a point where what I practice is just being light. So it depends on what you practice. If the majority of the time anyone is practicing or not practicing, yeah, it's going to be heavy and it's going to take a while, if at all. Some people hold on to shit forever. So forever. It is really what you practice. And then getting back to the programming, noticing because nobody taught me to practice keeping everything light. But if you were born again and you were my son again, and I am who I am now, baby, you'd be getting that. You would be getting that message at 3 months old.
I'm over here nodding my head, nodding and bobbing my head. Yes, yes, yes. Because now I'm thinking practice, because not everyone, dies every day that's close to us. Not fires aren't erupting every day. So we get to practice on the little things, on what, quote unquote, the easier things every day. I get to practice people on the subway every day. I get to practice everything, things at my job. So I'm nodding, bobbing yes, because if it is a daily practice and something that maybe is a little bit heavier, it might take a little bit more time, but it's not going to take as much time because of that practice has already been set in place. And it's just like anything, lifting weights. Okay, you lift light weights, and then heavyweight comes along and you're able to lift the heavier weight because you've been practicing on the lighter weights.
With all of that comes to my other definition of happiness. Happiness is a practiced skill. And it is a skill like any other skill, from dancing to being a surgeon, to being a writer, to being an athlete, to being a gardener, to being a good waiter and a five-star, to being a chef. Happiness is a practiced skill. And the more I practice, the more skillful I get. And I'm just saying that nobody gets awards for this. Nobody gets a Tony, a Grammy, an Emmy for this. Nobody gets awards for mastering self and practicing these things. Nobody gets accolades. I mean, self-practicing peace. So I'm out here to say that whatever I practice is what I'm contributing to the world, and my practice is. My practice is to keep it light, and that's all it is. It's a life of practice. It's a life, a journey of practicing. Practicing what I know will keep me light, which are what? Trusting, accepting, living consciously, being okay with uncertainty, letting go, choosing my perspective, choosing my focus, moment by moment, wanting to be making a commitment to peace, making it my number one priority, staying out of other people's business, staying out of other people's. Somebody asked me about you the other day. Well, what's your son? And I said, I don't know. I'm not in his business. He looked at me like, are you even his mother? Now, I don't know what he's doing. You're going to have to ask him. That's his business. I have no clue. I know a few things. Oh, I know a few things, but it's your business. Which brings me to what I got this morning, Nathan. This morning I get out of bed. Listen to this. On Thanksgiving Day, the creek starts running. The creek is flowing. The creek is moving. Today is the first day. Last year started in October, but this year, today on Thanksgiving, the creek is flowing. And I was thinking about feeling bad and knowing that the only reason I'm feeling bad, the ego and the programming. There's a term in football. It's called getting separation. It's when wide receivers, those guys that catch those long passes, part of their game plan is their challenge is to get separation, to get out of, you know, move far enough from the defender so they can catch the ball. And that separation, I put it on the ego, and I'm feeling more and more separation from the ego, less and less identifying with it. I mean, I know the difference, but really specifically getting separation from my ego and more witnessing of it. Because when I feel unrest or unbalanced or anxious or whatever I'm feeling, impatient, whatever I'm feeling, it's not me, it's the ego. So it's more of separation from the ego and getting it farther and farther and farther and farther and farther away. So all I can do is just watch it.
I love that analogy, separation, and watching it from afar, way, far away. Hello, ego, way over there. I think I hear you, but just barely.
Yes, I can barely see you. I can barely hear you because I can feel the difference when I'm all in it and I'm all in it, shoulders tight.
Yes.
I know that's not even me. It's like the universe. It's not like the universe experiences this world through my experiences. The universe experiences the world through me. I'm going to start experiencing, I'm just experience watching the ego, watching it, and really getting my distance. I'm going to start practicing that. That's my new practice on Thanksgiving, getting more separation.
I really, really like that. I was thinking about when you take a plane trip and you take off and all the buildings are really close and you can read all the signs and see all the cars, and then you start to elevate above the ground and everything gradually gets smaller and farther away. And there's this realization of, wow, this planet is pretty damn big. And there is a lot going on and there is a lot of people and a lot of events happening that if I just back up from it and I see it from afar, I really get a broader perspective of it all. I mean, if we really talk about the universe, literally we talk about being connected to the universe, that we are the universe, and, you know, a piece of us is that huge infinite part. And that's why I do like astronomy, backing it all the way up. Now we're looking at planets. This is planet Earth. This is Saturn. This is Milky Way. We keep backing up, and we realize our individual lives and our individual stories are so, so literally small compared to the massiveness of the universe. And that relaxes me because I'm thinking, and it's really that big, and I'm over here, you know, upset at some lady's hair falling on me on the subway. I mean, that's nothing. So I love that separation. I'm going to keep flying up and up and up and keep getting my bird's eye view of it all, because I think it helps me just not sweat the small stuff, so to speak. And then,
well, while
and in
talking,
that way,
no, go ahead. Okay, no, go ahead.
I was just going to tie in, so we said earlier, but in that way, something like a fire that's happening in one section of one state, in one country, in one planet, it's from that viewpoint, it's really very small. And I do want to honor that, because sometimes I think, oh, what's happening in my life is so big, or this problem is so big, or my goals are so big, it's going to take so much time, and it's a choice to think of it really big like that. or something really small and manageable?
Well, you were talking earlier, I remember seeing shots, if you've ever looked at shots from the moon looking at the Earth.
Oh, yeah, I love those.
Yeah, just those satellite views. It is, and just to think of me, just one little speck, like you said, of just the bigger picture. But then too, we all have parts of this universe. Everything that's in the universe, we have parts of that in our body, in our makeup, in our human body. But like you said, to put it into perspective, and that perspective keeps me light. See, it's all about the lightness. It's all about serious versus light. Is it serious or is it light? And you can let choose whichever one is. Well, you choose it based on your programming, but there's nothing, you don't see any animals running around here making vision boards and having goals. And they're doing their thing. I watch animals all the time from inside the house. They're doing their thing. There's no concern, no worry, no, they're just being themselves. And that's getting to a point of just being yourself and being okay with yourself and being okay with whatever whatever this life deals, whatever hand. It's like you talking about poker. Play whatever hand you're dealt.
Right.
I have no other choice than to play with whatever hand I'm dealt. I'm not the dealer.
Right.
I'm not the dealer.
Right, true. Mm-hmm. I was just watching some poker videos the other day, and I haven't watched poker in a really, really long time, but there's some fun videos on YouTube. Remember Daniel Negreanu? There's some compilations of him just making some amazing plays using his intuition. And sometimes his plays were folds. They weren't always him winning the pot. It was sometimes he was using his intuition to feel out that this is not the hand to pursue. This is not the time to keep betting. It's not the time to try to win it. And I love that poker analogy because we're not the dealers, but we do have the cards. And sometimes it's time to go all in and, yeah, let's keep going and let's keep betting and keep moving forward. And sometimes it's I got to fold. And to me, a fold means I got to take a nap. I got to bow out. I'm not going to take action. My action is going to be taking a step back and actually taking myself out of the mix. Let other people play the hand. Let other people solve the problem. Let other people talk about what's going on. But this doesn't feel like my time to do this, at least in this hand. And that's really, the poker is just such a good analogy because how else can you explain Daniel Negreanu or any of these poker players continuously winning and being champions when all the cards every round are randomly dealt? So it's obviously not the cards you're dealt. It's how you play the cards.
Now hold on a second.
Right? Come on.
Now hold on a second. Now you're making that poker analogy even better because you said it. All these people that are at the top of the helm of Negreanu, the top players, well, there's a reason. And you talked about sometimes you need to take a nap. That's just part of surrendering to every moment, just surrendering to it, surrendering to every moment without judging, without resistance. Regardless of how it feels, that's surrendering. And let me tell you, the ego, my ego, I'm just speaking for myself, my ego, we have the problem with surrendering. The ego, surrender. No, I want to fight. I want to resist. I want to think something's wrong.
Right.
It, the last thing it wants to do is surrender and relax and trust.
That's right.
That's why I need to separate from that mother effer. I need to separate. I'm separating. See ya. Bye. I'll get the binoculars. Watch. 2 months from now, 3 months, 6 months from now, I'm gonna say, oh yeah, I need binoculars to see my ego.
Do you have any strong binoculars? High lens. Listen, I got to jump on the poker thing because it's just so good. You said you just don't want. There's those moments where we just don't want to surrender, and I have to say that in some of those hands, you know, it goes three rounds. So you bet once, you see another card, you bet again, and then you see a final card, and you bet a third time. And sometimes they're in the hand, and they put a lot of money in the hand already. They bet a lot of chips. And if they really go with the vibe by the last card that's flipped over, and their vibe is not telling them to go forward, it's actually telling them to get out of this hand before you lose even more money, that's really tough, because I feel like the ego says that, shit, I've already put in all this money. I want to see this through because I deserve to win. I put in so many chips, and I put all this brain energy, and I want to win. But for whatever reason, or the cards don't match up, the intuition says you need to get out before you go even deeper down. And that's why I think Daniel and all these top players are so good, because it's really hard to let go of whatever it may be to let go of in that moment. So it is a surrendering. And just on that same token, I think there is listening to the intuition of saying, no, 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 keep going, because you're about to win this. Keep going. You got this. Maybe when the hand isn't that good. I mean, the cards aren't that good. But the intuition says, no, this is it. This is your time. This is the time to go all in. This is the time to take a quote, risk, or whatever that is. So all coming back to the vibe.
Well, now you were talking about, see, and there are reasons. I watched poker last night. I watched poker.
Oh.
And this guy was, of course, it's tape poker. This guy was, he was getting up. He had a 2% chance of winning the hand. A 2%. It had to come a 10 and an ace, a 2%. He got up from the table. He got the first 10. He says, oh, you know, and he had another out. He got a 10, and he's, you know, looking around, and he got the runner. He got both cards, 10 and an ace. And he was able to sit down. And so my point is, like you said, it is a skill to practice. And the ego, because watching these poker players, the ego would say, the curiosity would get, I need to know what's behind the hand. I need
right.
to know. I need to keep betting because I'm just too curious to lay this, to fold this hand. So that's
right.
a little – So then the skill is also knowing when to play, knowing when to fold, knowing what to bet, knowing your other opponent. Again, this now you made a whole new chapter about happiness and poker. So I got my brain churning on that one, poker and happiness, how the skills and the practice relate. It's a fascinating game. But, you know, you could find that with any skill that
yes.
you are interested in or you want to develop, it's the same with anything. It is a degree. It's never just now you have it. It is a degree of practice. And the more you practice, the easier. Not easier. I'm not going to use the word easier, but it becomes more a part of my identity. What I practice is who I am.
Wow. Well said.
No,
I have to throw one more thing, because you just mentioned that 2% chance, the 10 and the 8, and I have to say that this is the bitter pill to swallow, the humble pie, whatever we want to call it, but there really are hands where if it's one versus one and someone just has a really good hand, they're playing all the right things, They got a 95% chance of winning, and that last hand or the last card gives the other player the winning hand. And it's just not, quote, fair. They did everything right. They listened to their intuition. Everything's good. And for whatever reason, they just got busted on that hand. And I feel like those are the moments that it's easy for me to lose trust or to think, well, F that, because I did everything right. I still lost in the end. So why would I keep trusting? Why would I not trusting, but practicing if I lost? But it's not a loss. It's just the way it goes sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes it is. I mean, if we talk about the animal kingdom, that's really how it goes out there. And like I talked about wanting to be happy all the time. Well, I want it to be fair too. And I want it to, whatever I put in, whatever work I put into a job, I want to see that come back to me, either in gratitude from people I'm working with or a monetary, payment or a plaque. Like you said, we don't get plaques for this stuff. The only reward we get is just that inner knowing that we're even doing it. And no one else can really give that to us at all.
That's why the whole labels, winning, losing. Someone asked me about the loss of your mother, and I said, I don't feel like there's a loss. You know, these labels, all labels subtract from peace.
Right, right.
There's no such thing as winning or losing. I mean, the program definitely says there's a winner and a loser, but I don't buy into that winning, losing. It just is. You said it earlier. It just is. It just is
just
without
is.
The judgment.
Yeah,
I want
nice,
to go to
nice.
Another topic that you started,
right.
You brought up this week about allowing.
Yes.
Allowing, we touched on it, and I was mentioning to you that I have one person that's grandfathered into my life. I mean, they're grandfathered in. I can't cut them loose.
Get rid of them.
Yeah, I can't get rid of them. They're grandfathered in. And the history of that relationship was always my life is better than your life game. Well, if I went on a trip, then they went on 10 trips. I've actually
right.
had a couple people in my life like that. It's, what are you doing? I'm doing this more. And I for a while, a long time, I played that game too. It was, I can trump what you did. And so this week, I received a text, and there was a picture of dinner and fresh crab. It was just a whole, my life is better than yours, and I'm conscious, and I said, well, I wrote out a whole text about how my life is still better than your life. I wrote out a whole text describing how my life is still better than your life. I was going to attach pictures. You have fresh crabs. Well, I have I can catch salmon and halibut. So it was a whole thing in my head. And then I said, oh, well, I'm doing it consciously, so it's going to be okay. I'm conscious. It's okay if you're conscious sending it. And I knew that it was my ego writing that text out, and I knew that it was, I'm still playing the game, my life is better than your life game. As soon as I wrote it all out, I deleted it. So I allowed myself to feel all of those ruffled feathers, all of those past of the game of my life is your. I mean, I played that game for a long time, so I could feel all that, and then I just didn't send it, and that's that. So we talked about allowing, you said it earlier too, allowing myself to feel all those things, maybe even to play it out. It's like a dress rehearsal. I'll rehearse it, but it's not going to go on stage. Like a draft,
I love that.
A draft
allow
of an article.
So much.
Yeah, draft is dress rehearsal, but it's not going to be the final product. It's not going to be It's not going to be live action camera. It's going to be, you know, I can do a lot of takes. I can do a lot of cuts, but it's going to be edited out, and it's not going to make the the movie.
That sounds cool to me. I love that, and I love just the space to allow it to be this and be that, and take this direction and take that direction, and let it kind of move a little bit, let it flow. I'm just picturing this glob of like Play-Doh, and you let it, you kind of pull it over here and you smash it down over here. You let yourself kind of play with it and mold it before it hardens. It doesn't have to, be something right away, but you also don't, you know, let it, well, I'll just let the Play-Doh sit there. It's like, no, you know, you gotta write the text, write it out, you know, feel it out. Mold it out and
like candle wax. You can shape it until it hardens.
And I told you earlier this week, one of my things was not really allowing some of that space for me. So if it was me with the text, something I might have done was not written anything, or I would have tried to block it out or pretended like I didn't see it, or I wouldn't even address it. I would just let the Play-Doh sit there, which is okay for that moment. But then, you know, we know that these moments keep cycling through, and these situations just keep coming again and again. So eventually it's just going to come back. So that same kind of situation is going to come back to me. So why not just basically deal with it in the moment and have fun with it in the moment and feel it out in the moment? Because the next time that same block of Play-Doh comes to me, I've already have practice. Like you said, I've had practice molding it out. I've had practice knowing how long it takes for the clay to harden, and practice what it feels like to do this, or what it feels like to choose to do that. And
well,
so
while
now,
you
so
were
I,
talking,
I, yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to end with saying that now, when the situation comes to me, I'm just giving it a little bit more time, maybe time and space, to feel it out and to know that it's okay, and to know that if I did want to send a text, or I did want to say something to someone, that it doesn't make me a bad person. It doesn't make anything wrong with me. It just is what it is. But I'm coming from a place sometimes I think, okay, if I'm uncomfortable, then I must have done something wrong. So that's a switch in my head for me. If there's nothing that I did that's wrong, it just is what it is. And I think that just goes back to that judgment on top, me putting the judgment on top of the situation, that I don't necessarily need to do that anymore.
Well, now we come to another topic, but you're talking about self-criticism, which is a real big one to release. I was my biggest self-critic. Big, big, big. I criticized myself better than anybody else could. And letting go of that self-criticism, I have to say that I wish I could find something wrong with anything I do.
Yeah, that's huge.
But while you were talking, this word came to me, just an expression. See, I was expressing what I needed to express in the moment. I was expressing it. I just expressed it. It was just like the trip that I thought I wanted to go to see the New England Patriots play the Steelers. I mean, I was excited. I was looking at the plane tickets. Where can I stay? Airbnb. All of it. I mean, I was really excited about going to seeing the Patriots and the Steelers play. I was all hyped up. And then, after a few days, I was expressing all that excitement. After a few days, I said, I don't want to get in a car and drive and spend the whole weekend and all the time. I mean, it just didn't stick. It didn't stay. But I was definitely excited about the moment, in the moment, expressing it. But then it petered out. I was over. And so I just want to share, too, that you can have an idea, have a feeling, express it, and then you can be different and change your mind the next day. Just because you're feeling something this day doesn't mean you have to carry it over and carry it over. Even if you made a promise, even if you said you were going to do it, even all of that. Now, the real world out there might have a problem with it, but I made a commitment to go to this dinner today. I said, yeah, I'll go, but trust me, I could get out of it, and if I'm not feeling it, my point is, let go of putting yourself on the hook for anything, and know that you can change, just like the weather, just like the air, just like the wind. Just be okay with the change. No judgments, even if you check, because it might not feel good in this moment. How do you know how you're going to feel tomorrow? And how I feel today has nothing to do with who I was yesterday.
Wow. Nice. I have to tie in the poker with this just because it's so easy to. I'm just feeling in the poker hand, you're betting, I'm going to do this, I'm doing this, I'm going to win it, I'm betting. And then you decide, no, I'm folding. And that's that.
No, I got one even better. Listen to this, poker. Sometimes the person plays tight and they have a reputation of playing tight. And sometimes they have another person has a reputation of playing loose, but the person that does the change up, now they were
That's
tight,
right.
And then they start playing loose.
That's right, and that is dangerous because no one knows what is going on with them. They're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, yeah, no, that's really good, and that is the way to play. That's when you're bluffing. They don't even know if you're bluffing. Sometimes you are, sometimes you're not. They don't know what's going on. They're trying to read you. And that's the flow. To me, that's the flow. Instead of deciding what the flow is before, that's really the flow.
So I have a question. This is, I'm just telling you, is the universe, is not the universe, is nature, is nature predictable?
Wow. Is nature predictable? Wow. What? Wow. You know, I think if you can see everything happening at once, you have that broader perspective, I do think it's predictable. Because you can see this one going here. You can see this one going. Well, you know, I have to say that there's an element of both. There's an element of, okay, you can see this animal, you know, if you're looking at a bird, if you're in a helicopter and you're looking over the jungle and you can see a tiger walking this way and an antelope walking this way and you see them walking towards each other, you can assume, you can predict that the tiger is going to eat the antelope. But you just don't know.
Well, can you predict that? What if the tiger just had a buffalo?
Well, I mean, well, if you see if you can see everything, the path, and you can see the tiger just ate a buffalo, then you say, oh, okay, well, this tiger is probably going to walk right past the antelope.
Oh,
that's what I mean.
Okay,
you not
okay.
only see it in the moment, you see everywhere they're coming from. And this is, someone was talking about this as far as throwing a pitch in baseball. And how they can tell, you're not going to know exactly where the ball's going, but you can have a pretty good idea from how the pitcher brings his leg up, how he looks to the side, his arm when he throws. You're not going to know exactly where the ball goes, but you have an idea of where it could be going. So I guess from, but I just think from the universe's standpoint, I feel like since the universe sees all, I would have to say that the universe, there is an element of knowing, of predictability.
I don't really don't know the answer. I'm going to say I'm going to do a two-beat continued on that one because I was
Can I just throw in one more thing?
I was trying to relate that to me and being predictable, being predictable and.
Well, listen. Okay, listen.
Is it my nature to be predictable? Somebody asked me, "What do you do every day?" You know, is there a program, but is there, you know, do I meditate every day? I have to say I don't have anything unless I am teaching a class. I know I have to drive to the class, but other than having an appointment, there is absolutely nothing predictable about my days. Absolutely nothing. And it's throwing me off because there's nothing predictable at all. Sometimes it's a little unsettling.
Right.
Well, let me scratch that. There are some things that are predictable. I mean, I do like this new game that I'm playing, so it is predictable that I'm going to be playing it throughout the day.
That's what I'm saying. There are certain things that, yes, if you did them yesterday, and then you did them yesterday, you did them the day before, and then the day before, odds are you'll probably do them again.
Right,
and if I'm brushing my teeth at 9, and I'm brushing my teeth at 9 o'clock, and I brush my teeth at 9, I'm probably going to brush my teeth at 9.
Right,
but
not
necessarily. And that's,
let me put that on the back burner.
Yeah, we need to put that on the back burner because you said one of your topics last week was fate versus, or what did you call it?
Free will versus destiny.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I think that ties in with that. And I think you made a good point. You said, I was kind of going off about theoretics and this and that. And you said, well, what does that mean for me? You know, so how can we bring all these theories and what we're talking about into basically a practice, something we can use. So we have all these theories and thoughts and words, and then how can we transform that into something that's really going to actually help us?
Well, speaking about helping, let me just really quickly go through a list of things that subtracts from happiness. And if you're listening to this, just get a pen. I'm going to go through it really quickly because these are all of the things that subtract from happiness. The same thing, they subtract from your peace. So I always like to give my listeners something that they can something of substance so they can take a takeaway as opposed to just conversation. But what subtracts from peace is blaming anyone or anything for the way you feel, comparing yourself to others, noticing what anybody else is doing, talking about what anybody else is doing, thinking anything is serious, thinking anything is important, wanting someone else to think what you think is important. Sharing bad news, all expectations, giving power to words, attachments, living in the past, living in the future, judgments, having preferences, resisting, trying to control anyone or anything outside of self, complaining, being embarrassed, taking anything personally, worrying, assigning a label to any experience, being critical of yourself or others, needing to be right, lack of personal growth, allowing the ego to dictate your words and your behavior, impatience, rushing, reacting rather than responding, and being closed, rigidity, being closed to new beliefs, new thoughts, and new ideas. When's the last time you changed your mind? When's the last time you've changed your mind on something that you've held on forever? So being open. And what adds to happiness is, we said it earlier, making happiness your number one priority, commitment, making peace your commitment, surrendering, humbling the ego, being yourself, accepting, allowing, living consciously, being okay with uncertainty, trusting, letting go, choosing your focus, choosing your perspective, staying out of people's business, and practice behaviors that add to happiness and eliminate the behaviors that subtract from happiness. Bam.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-bam.
Well,
I'm so glad you gave that list. I was curious. I was curious about what adds to happiness. I was glad you gave that the dual list.
Yeah, I wrote it. I have it written down. You know that, and then the subtracts keeps adding, so the list gets longer and longer. But I like to give people something concrete.
Yes.
Now, do you have anything that you would like to add? I mean, this has been a wonderful, wonderful show. Do you have any topic that we didn't touch on?
You know, I can't say that there was, or that there is a topic I'd like to add. I feel pretty complete. When you were talking, I just kept the biggest thing I did when we were talking was checking in with my vibe and just noticing what it was and not feeling like, because you know sometimes when we talk, especially for reality spirituality, I ideally would want to be in a really good place and calm and accepting and happy, and even that vibe changes. So sometimes I'm a little nervous, or sometimes I'm coming from something, or I'm whatever my vibe is. Difference I made today was just letting that vibe be what it was, and that just goes back to allowing. It's just one of my favorite things right now is the allowing. And it also helps me with other people too, because it helps me remember that I can allow them to do whatever they're doing, and I can allow them to go through whatever they're going through, say what they're saying, and they can talk fast, they can talk slow, they can ask me questions, they can ignore me. You know, I'm kind of thinking of some of my students with my fitness classes, but they can take breaks, they can laugh. You know, sometimes they talk in my class too, depending on what class, and just really honestly, truly allowing that space for them, just like I would allow it for myself. And sometimes it's easier to focus on allowing it for me. And sometimes when I look outward and I think, oh, I'm going to allow the world outside of me, that is easier. It just depends on the moment. So you gave a list of things that subtract from happiness and things that add to happiness. And sometimes it's really helpful to know this, what I'm doing is subtracting from my happiness, period. And then sometimes it's helpful to focus on this is adding to my happiness. So I like that you gave those two lists, and I like that sometimes focusing on myself really helps, and sometimes using things outside of myself as things to focus on really helps me. And that's that.
You talked about a class, and one of the things that I really think it's funny is when people start yawning in my class for whatever reason.
Oh,
and if I see it, I always say, what, are you falling asleep? I just not taking anything personally is just so, for me, it's just so
That's
big.
A relief.
And I got some guys that insult me. I think the one was, what do you mow your hair? What do you cut your hair with a lawnmower? Just so many insults. And I love it. I mean, just to be able to laugh, I just really like that. But there is one more
now,
topic I wanted
insults,
to say.
Are those insults or those zingers? Or is there a difference? Are they zingers with stingers or no stingers?
Well, you know, they know me now, so they try to zing with stingers, but the stingers don't even stick. They do, and I just, when you laugh at a stinger, when you laugh at a stinger, the stinger just naturally gets dull and there's no way that's going to stab you. So the stingers, maybe, yeah, no, and that's the only thing to combat a stinger, laugh.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when people make fun of other people and you can't make, like the comedians, you can't make like that Kevin Hart, Jesus, he's the size of an ant, but he makes fun of himself before anybody else can. Joan Rivers did the same thing, self-deprecating humor, but it's just, you can't make fun of them because they're already making fun, but I don't know if they're at a level of consciousness where they feel good about themselves, but it's just deflecting. You can't shoot a stinger if there's nothing to aim at, nothing to stick to.
Nothing to sting, yes.
Nothing to sting. I don't even know how I got a way around on that topic. That was all the way around the merry-go-round.
But this is what I wanted to say.
Yeah, round and round, because it is Thanksgiving and it is a holiday that I've spent a lot of times with my parents. This is the first Thanksgiving. I don't have a mother. I don't have a father. They're both dead. And it's interesting that people that don't have their parents, but that experience, I really find myself remembering just all of the different moments. And I have to say, even these people that have had parents that are maybe mean to them, and I've had issues with both of my parents, but all I can come up with are some nice memories. Even the memories that aren't very pleasant, they don't have any dirt on them. Even the ones that have been the most challenging, they're just very light memories. And the other thing I know, I can call or chat with both of them at any moment. Actually, I tried to zoom in on Grandma the other day, but she was doing, I don't know what she was doing, but she wasn't answering, so she was doing her thing. But I can feel their both of their presence, and memories are really, that's all I have in there, and they're really, memories are very, very fulfilling.
Well, that was nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's very nice.
Yeah, memories are fulfilling. They really are. And looking at it as a loss, I don't feel like I lost anything. I haven't lost anything.
Right.
No. So, I don't feel that. If I felt it, I would say it. But I don't feel a loss of anything. That's what I wanted to say.
Wow. Well, I'm grateful for you, and I know all of our Thanksgivings, and I remember going to Vegas for Thanksgiving, Grandma and Gramps, and turning around and touching the ground, and
there was one Thanksgiving we went to the casino, and we had Baja Fresh. You remember that?
Oh, my God. I don't remember having Baja Fresh casino. Maybe.
It was in one of those casinos, local casinos that Grandma and Gramps went to. But we had dinner out at restaurants, and we had Baja Fresh. I'll never forget that. Baja Fresh on Thanksgiving, it was the best. That's when Baja Fresh was really good.
Yeah, when it was fresh.
Mm-hmm. Well, unless you have a question,
Why are you so cool?
No. It takes one to recognize one. I might say Do you want to recognize one?
Yeah.
Well, this was a wonderful, as I say every time we hang out or Thanksgiving, this is the best Thanksgiving ever. 2018 is the best Thanksgiving ever. Reality, spirituality with my son Nathan, my one and only son Nathan. And reality spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Special occasions, special holidays. You can find me. You can find my website, RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. I have a YouTube channel. Actually, all of the links are available on the Blog Talk Radio show page. And my first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon and or Lulu.com. That's L-U-L-U. My second book, I'm writing it, Program for Unhappiness, will be out sometime 2019. I doubt if I can finish it before the end of the year. And I am available for talks, for weekend retreats, for seminars. Contact me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. And until Sunday, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You're a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Be patient and be kind. Be kind to yourself. Remember, you can be your own best friend. You cannot have a happy ending without an unhappy journey. What? You cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. You're listening to Reality Spirituality with my favorite number one guest, Nathan. Thank you so much, Nathan Norrington, for being on Reality Spirituality. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone, 2018.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers.
To your song?
I was. I heard you singing, so I started singing along to it.
Yeah. Now, do you love that song that you made and created?
I still like it. Yeah. I'm like, wow, it's actually
good. It is the best song ever. I love this, you know, it is so, it is the best song ever.
Yeah. That's you and me, because you told me exactly what, not exactly, but you said you wanted it's a repeat. You wanted Reality Spirituality. So, yes, that's our creation.
Mm.
Yeah. I remember I did it once, and then it was different the first time. Or the first draft.
I don't remember that.
I don't really remember it either, but I remember something. It was kind of corny, I think. My first version. Find joy or something. I don't remember what it was, but you said, no, repeat a reality spiritual. Just repeat it. And you said you wanted it hot, too.
Did?
Like a beat. You wanted something like with a beat you could kind of bop to.
Oh, see, I don't remember, but I do remember. I remember listening to the Batman theme song, and I remember telling you know that all it is da 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 da
Batman.
Yeah, and I remember telling you that I just said something really simple.
Simple.
I don't know. It is just the best song. But there was a time. Wasn't there a time when you didn't like the song?
Yeah, and that's just, you know, I listen to it now, and it's like when you look at those pictures and you say, damn, I really look good. What was I doing, you know, criticizing myself? So that's how I feel with the song, because I'm like, it's actually really good. So why was I – anyway, it's just what I was doing at the time. You talked about self-criticism. It's just no – you ain't got time for that anymore. It's just really no space for that. No.
No. This – you know, when you first – I just remember, I'm telling you – I love that song every time I hear it. It's like when we used to watch the Titanic over and over. Every time I hear it, I love that song. It's a hot song. It's an upbeat song. It's got every element in it. It's creative.
Yeah.
It's unique. I love that song. It's going to be my theme song forever.
Yes. No, it has to be. I just in my head, I'm thinking, how can I, not remix it, but I just want to do what do they call it when they redo a movie or like a Disney movie? They just brighten the colors,
sharpen.
I just want to clean it up.
Yeah, what do they call that? Like the star, like Lady Gaga, The Star Is Born, and they not a remix, but it's a
FX. Anyway.
What?
That was good. We were really rolling.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good. And you are so good at chatting and talking and going with the flow. And I have to, you know, I don't realize. I mean, you have so much. And even though, you know, if you pause, I have to remind myself, okay, just be quiet, because this kid is rich with a lot of stuff. I got to listen to all of it.
And I'm trying, you know, when I pause, I have little freakouts on my side. You know, I feel like I'm on live TV or something. I'm like, oh,
no, pauses are good.
Yeah,
no,
so
pauses are good and positive. Yeah, it adds to the
dramatic
drama of it. It adds to the power of it. It adds to, I mean, when we, you don't need to fill every space. At least I don't. I don't think so.
No, and you're right. I can feel that reaction. I'm like, and I'm thinking the ums. I'm like trying not to say the ums, but I'm not done. So yeah, I think it flows really good. I like listening to you, and then you flow sometimes too. You get on a roll.
Mm-hmm.
You're just flowing, and just feel, you know, we just have a lot to talk about. Yeah.
Baby, listen, if I could do my own show for 50 minutes by myself, nobody calling in, you know, I can flow. I have
flow.
No problem with this. With this topic, this is my topic.
Do you have a line beginning? You have a line that says, "Experience this life." What do you say? What is that?
I said, "Life is an experience without judgments."
Yes. Okay. I'm just thinking like life and then moments. Are we going to use life, or we say experience this moment?
You could throw in moment. Moments are experience without judgment. Moment, the day is an experience without judgment. Life, whatever.
Moment,
works.
Life,
yeah,
moment,
you could,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Make it big, or make it look big. Get down to the moment. Each moment is experience without judgment.
So, yeah.
So the creek started moving today. Did I tell you?
Today, yeah, you did. You said on the show, which is really cool. And I almost wasn't going to tell you, but I saw the moon a couple of days ago, and it's, you know, full moon. I don't know what's going on right now, but there was a full moon before the last few days.
Mm.
So it's times. So I'm going to – can I call you back and we'll do a double aftermath?
Please.
Yeah.
Checking out Reality Spirituality.
Aftermath.
Later.
Bye.
Aftermath.
It's time to get real. It's the newest spirit.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
It's just